You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We're live now?
Okay, we're live.
Hey, sorry. How about that?
I didn't know. He said it was coming.
First, they're like, can you wear the least professional clothes you have in your closet? Hey, what a night at the fights. Bellator 277, Luke.
This is my colleague. He's homeless, and we took him in because we felt badly about him. But how are you doing, Brian Kimball?
Jokes aside, this is Morning Combat, and this is your Bellator 277 instant reaction show.
Ooh,
what
turn this
a
off.
Night
Hold
from
on.
San Jose, Luke. The highs, the lows. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the in-between in Elite MMA. A tentpole event, if you will, Scott Coker.
Yes.
And it delivered some thrills and a lot to talk about.
A lot of controversy here tonight. So we'll talk about the results from the rematch between AJ McKee and Patricio Pitbull. We'll, of course, get into the results of the light heavyweight World Grand Prix and a couple of the other notes from the card. So obviously, if you're here, you don't want spoilers, or you don't care. But if
you're watching this
people
video,
get bitter, dude. People get bitter when I say.
What are you going to watch? Just preview the fight after it happened?
I mean,
what are you doing here?
It's just they get unimaginably bitter.
Let them know, though. We're in Arlington, Texas right now.
We are in Arlington, Texas. Thumbs up on the video. Please hit subscribe if you'd be so kind. All right, so let's be open with the main event. Right, here we go. The results are as follows. Patricio Pitbull defeats AJ McKee. The scores are already the subject of intense debate.
49-46 on one scorecard, 48-47
on
the other
two. Of the others.
A unanimous decision
yes.
for the former champ. Luke, let me take it back from you right now, okay?
You have to start with how you scored it. How'd you score it?
How about I start with the headline here?
How about you start with some pants,
okay.
which you failed to do.
The 34-year-old legend, the face of Bellator's history, now 6-0 in rematches.
Yeah, he's remarkable.
A three-time featherweight world champion. Just beating the guy who just beat him to become the biggest thing that ever happened to Bellator. What a turn of scoring aside, okay? We talked about Devinson Figueiredo at the same age coming back with that big win against Brandon Moreno and their rematch. How about this? How about the Brazilian juggernaut, the savage, regardless of the scoring, pulling this out? That's a man out there tonight.
He had a remarkable performance, completely disciplined from the word go. Strong investment in the leg kick. It's really what I think won him the majority of those three rounds.
Although some of the stuff, chase him.
And he did. You know, the early going of the first and second round a little bit reminded me of the second fight between Max and Volk, the one that I not so famously but stupidly tweeted that I'd seen many, many times. The point being is one of the adjustments there that the team Max did was they waited on Volkanovski to blitz them a little bit more than trying to chase him down. And you actually saw that with Patricio, with AJ McKee, and it worked actually really well for him. He was able to counterbox a lot better, again, invest in the leg kick, changing up the rhythm, changing up the location. Dude, phenomenal takedown defense. Now, once he got pressed up against the fence, I did think there was a strength difference and a grappling strength difference. And so you did see AJ McKee have some success there. But wouldn't you agree overall, that was a disciplined, researched,
yes.
well-executed performance
for him. Important. Look, Patricio Pitbull won this fight in the first three rounds. And I think the scoring, I'm going to have to check out how the judges scored it. Yes, how I scored it. 3-2 in favor of Pitbull. I gave the final 2 rounds to McKee. I do believe it could have been gone either way in the end because I believe there were swingish rounds, although I think Pitbull did the better work overall. But if you ask me how he won this fight, Luke, it's what he did in those first 3 rounds to not only make McKee chase him, McKee the more dynamic striker who can seemingly sort of invent moves out of nowhere. I mean, we saw it early on in that first 2 minutes from the opening spin kick from McKee that he can pull out spinny shit, some wild shit that you've never seen before. So how did Pitbull counteract that? by staying in the middle, making McKee chase, but most importantly, making him pay that toll when he did cross the line. Sometimes that toll was in calf strikes, sometimes it was counter right hands, but everything was heavy, and that was the key. This wasn't a high output turnout either way, and unfortunately, Luke, I don't know what the fans in the Shark Tank in San Jose, you know, arguably one of the best home bases of pure MMA fans in the game, I don't know what they were booing out there. This rematch gave us the answers to key questions that we needed, not only about where AJ McKee is really at, this star on the rise in the making already here, 27 years old, but what it would look like if they both had to constantly make changes for the other. We got that. We got high-level changes. This was my shit. I love this fight. People say, how could you love this fight? It was slow. It was slow, but it was tactical, and it was constant adjustments. And for the first three rounds, it was Pitbull setting a tone. That let's give McKee credit when Pitbull faded a bit in 4 and 5. He made it close, but I'm comfortable with 3 rounds to 2 for Pitbull, and this is a hella tough performance.
Incredible performance, and really it speaks to, I mean, something that gets tossed around that is oversold as almost like a phony way to prop yourself up, but there is a kernel of truth to it, and it should be reminded that when fighters lose a fight and then they say to their opponent, oh, he was just better than me on that night, I've seen people take objections to the sort of disclaimer about on that night. But really, it is quite true. Oftentimes, guys don't get a lot. There's not a huge amount of times you can fight. So you get a real small sample size. And sometimes fights do mean that one guy is clearly superior than the other. Sometimes it's hard to know what they mean. Clearly, what it showed us was on the first night that they fought, AJ McKee was certainly the better prepared for that moment and the better one who executed a game plan. But it doesn't necessarily mean that over time, if they had more fights, that he would be the guy who proved to be the best. This was Patricio's, I think, overall better night. Although, to your point, McKee did rally considerably, having a lot of gusto, but not going too crazy with the risk in the fourth and the fifth. But still, it is true. Like, don't read. Sometimes people overreach in terms of what they read into the significance of wins and losses. This is a test case into recognizing sometimes people just have good moments, and that's all they are.
We're going to make the same question and answer about the co-main event, the light heavyweight final, in a second. But I do want to ask you this straight up. If you're Scott Coker and Bellator Brass, I don't know if this was best case scenario, but it's great case scenario, meaning these are the two biggest stars, best fighters you've ever had under your banner, no disrespect to Michael Chandler. First time they gave you the highlight reel finish. Second time now we give you the aging fighter coming back and putting on a vintage adjustment performance. Now we're going to most likely get a trilogy, and we can argue whether that trilogy should come next right away, don't pass go, or it should come a little bit down the road. Either way, you continue this storyline and the rivalry between these two, and I don't think this loss, and you saw the way McKee objected to the decision. I would have loved an interview. I think he walked right out of the cage afterwards dejected, but I don't think this kills that stock of is McKee the next big thing in this sport. You got to go through sometimes more than once the legends to get over that hump. Mm-hmm. He went through them the first time. We ran back this rematch. If you're Bellator Brass, you're going, all right, let's go to the trilogy. Let's do this. It's kind of win-win in the end.
Would they fight? Would he really do 3 of those in a row?
It's rare. It's not always advised in the promotional game, because why rush and cash that ticket? But I think this was such a unique, perfect storm when they fought the first time last year, meaning that we were allowed to justifiably say this is the biggest fight in Bellator history. It has the most meaning. It's the two best fighters the promotion ever produced. And in this unique, special case, I think you do run that back a third time right now, because I think there are more questions that still need answered. And so, hey, Pitbull, the veteran, won this battle, but he didn't win the war yet. And the war is where the money's at and the sales. But even aside from that, storyline-wise, I can't wait to see what this third one looks like. Look.
Yeah, I don't know if they would run it right back, but I agree. It's a little bit hard to know where exactly you would go. Like, who would be the other person at 145 that has stood out in Bellator that you would... Well, you know what? But then Aaron Pico gets into the conversation here a little bit as well.
Not yet.
I don't want to pivot to him, but what I mean to say is if you don't go the direction of a third one right in a row, then you do have to figure out who fills that slot.
Well, you'd have to look at the rankings, and it's not that there's not names there. I mean, we just had a featherweight world Grand Prix with elite names, and certainly I just think, look, this is hot right now. And I think, Luke, this fight, despite what those fans were booing, it gave us that ebb and flow and those adjustments and the high-level performances that we needed. I won't say Aaron McKee, shout out to the 0-1 Sixers. If you're AJ McKee, do you have a legitimate case, though, to say I got robbed? Okay, or they missed it?
So we need to go through the scoring.
Well, I want to ask you that.
Yeah, but that's how I'm going to answer. We need to go
because
through.
Because people are looking at this video going, oh, BC, tough day to ski. You know, it's a tough time to skip leg day. Look, I've been skipping leg day for 43 years because I've been working out my lethal weapon,
okay,
my mind.
Let's talk about the scoring here a little bit. Scoring round one, how do you score it?
That, I think, is the big point of adjustment because you saw John McCarthy on the broadcast give it to AJ McKee. I gave it to Pipple. I thought that he did well to absorb the flashy strikes early from McKee and then made McKee chase, and it was the legwork in round one that has to go Pipple's way. I can understand somebody giving it to McKee because he was flashy early, but if you know what you're watching, and people say, I don't always know what I'm watching when I do these hipster scorecards, I think I got it, though. 10-9 Pipple in round one.
I had a 10-9 Pipple in round one, but I do recognize that is the swing round, or a swing round, actually. There's a couple different ways you can go. I think that the case for Pipple is stronger in round one by virtue of the amount and then the value of the leg kicks, but I recognize that one's a little harder to call. Round two, that's a Pitbull round, right?
It's a big Pitbull round.
Yeah, it's a big Pitbull round. Round three, that's a Pitbull round for me as well.
So round three, I think, will ultimately be the big swing one because here's what happened. Pitbull drops McKee, flash knockdown of sorts, but McKee instantly then takes
over. Chewing him up before that, too.
Instantly takes over top position, and to credit, McKee started to work the ground and pound a little bit, and that's when it created the crazy sequence of momentum shifts. And in that crazy sequence, had Pipple with that guillotine. He's the guillotine master. Now, obviously, maybe the bigger storyline is, holy shit, McKee got out of that?
Yes.
When nobody, that's the finishing move. And, you know, you hate when I bring pro wrestling references in here, but that's a freaking, the guillotine master, that's his finishing move, and McKee got out of it. But if you're going to score that round, even though McKee did have a few offensive moments after that, he did end up taking top position back. He did, for a brief second, almost have his own choke to close the round. The damage was done by Pipple.
Right. Let's talk about that guillotine for a second, because that's a round for Pipple, and I want to explain why that's a round for Pipple. Here's the best approximation I can have. People think that if someone applies a guillotine, even if it's close, if they escape, that somehow negates the effort. Yeah, In other words, it's a binary question of did the guillotine work or did it not? That is not the question. The question is the same question you would ask of any piece of offense, which is what else happened in the round? And the larger point is, if you put someone in peril that way, it can strain their neck. It is certainly difficult to endure, right? It counts as meaningful offense. And if added to other things in the part of a round, can that be a deciding factor potentially in how a round is scored? Yes, it absolutely can. It can be actually one of the most significant things you score in a round, even if they fully escape. So then you add on top of that that he got sent to a knee from the strikes. That's a round for Pitbull for me. And the argument the other way is not as strong as round one.
Do you have an issue with John McCarthy having it 2-1 Pipple entering the champ? I'm sorry, 2-1 McKee entering the championship rounds?
Didn't have any issue with the round one scoring. Again, didn't see it that way. I saw it for Pipple, but I certainly recognize that round is open for interpretation. And I do recognize that round three is up for debate. But I would say, John usually has really strong scorecards. Not to say that I'm right and he's wrong. It's just my interpretation.
Don't ask Aljo about that, though.
Well, it was a separate matter. But I guess I would say I was surprised. I was surprised because I did not see it. Sometimes I disagree with him on a round or here or there. That was two rounds where I was like, really? Or you were surprised too?
I was a little bit surprised because, then we transitioned to the championship rounds.
John's got good judgment on that.
And this brings in the same topic. Definitely Pipple faded a bit in four and five. I wouldn't call it a full fade because I liked a lot of the moments he had in round five, even though I scored it for McKee.
Yes.
But that fourth round was AJ McKee figuring out the distance as Pipple was slowing down, and he started to piece him up. And I gave him round four. Problem is, that's the first round I'm giving McKee. If you're John McCarthy and you have McKee up 2-1,
right,
that means you got to give him round four. Suddenly it's 3-1 McKee entering the fifth round. I get it, it's subjective, it's close. But I guess I'm happy in the end, Luke, that first of all, it wasn't what I feel to be shenanigans. You couldn't have been a split decision. Maybe that would have been more justifiable. Okay, but I think top to bottom, even though I had it 3-2, if you're doing by pride rules, Pipple won this fight. So I'm happy to see that in any form, the three judges saw that too. Do you agree with that,
though? I do agree with that. I want to follow.
I want your validation.
Yeah, no, it's a quite right point.
On my outfit.
Less so. Did you not tell me that Mike Boner from MMA Junkie...
Handsy on an airplane if you let him, right? If it's consensual, right?
Okay, Jesus Christ. Did you have to introduce that element of the conversation in? Fucking A, man. I'm trying to keep this job.
Yeah.
Did you not tell me that he tweeted that he had heard AJ McKee's corner told him going in from the fourth to the fifth that he had won all four?
I believe that's what Team Body Shop was trying to say.
I gotta tell you, I don't understand that. I understand lying to your fighter to get a certain kind of performance from them, but that wouldn't make sense because you have to know that through four rounds, maybe you think he's up, maybe you think it's tied, I don't know. But it's competitive, and who the hell knows? That's bad. I don't understand what response they were trying to get from him by telling him that.
And I thought that fifth round, I even tweeted that, there was a lack of urgency from both with the fight on the line. Now, that lack of urgency ties into...
It picked up a little bit at the end.
Okay, but I'm going to get to that. It ties into two things. One is stamina. They both gave a lot. Two is they don't want to make a mistake. This is why I like this fight so much. Anytime any opening or mistake is there, the other one's there to counter right away. So I didn't like that lack of urgency, although I get it. But that final minute, dude, they put it on each other. They both went after it.
Yes.
There were swings.
And they both got tagged. They both got hit with big shots. You're right. They fought the first, like, half, maybe 3 minutes, like they both had assumed they had it in the bag.
Yeah.
That's kind of how they were. But also, let's talk about this, too. We're getting back to the scoring. And, again, I think Patricio is the rightful winner, although I understand that, you know, there's elements of that fight that are close. The scorecard 4-1 for Pitbull. I'm a little bit less. That's not a great scorecard either.
That's not a great scorecard. That would have to mean that they saw the fifth round for Pitbull, which isn't impossible because there wasn't a ton that happened until that final 90 seconds. But I thought McKee had done better leading up to that.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I could maybe squint. Even then, my blind
ass. And
again,
they're dealing with
shit.
The crowd booing. You know, that was a little bit of a weird environment.
There were Showtime people here, and then we started talking. Yo, then they motherfucking left, bro.
Yeah, they did. They did do that.
Yo, they just split. They was like, "Fuck these."
Well,
losers.
Then look, I got to ask you the really hard question that I teased earlier and already gave my answer, which is this:
That's a great way to have a comment.
There was a lot of talk. I even said it on today's Morning Combat episode that we recorded right outside there in Texas Live. You know, McKee has that feel of like MMA's Tiger Woods or MMA's Mayweather. How much does this loss, and it's a razor-thin loss in the end, right? Even with the unanimous decision, it's still in your mind either way, right? You could have gone either way to some degree. How much does that kill the buzz of this guy being the next big thing? I don't think it actually does much because I overall kind of liked AJ McKee's performance and particularly his adjustments to what Pitbull was doing great. I think he deserved to lose? Yes.
Yeah.
But he's also facing an all-time great.
I mean, just one of the big differences is we know, obviously, let's just say it out loud, Patricio Pitbull is the king of the rematches, right? That is what he is. He is the king of the rematches. Dude, we've said it all week. We said it in the lead into the first time they fought. Patricio Pitbull did not limp his way into the finals of that tournament. He beat the fuck out of everyone in front of him. And so we thought, like, that was going to be super competitive, and the first time it wasn't. This is a much better representation of why we were telling people who may be new to the Pitbull experience why you should expect excellence. Because, dude, his adaptability, his resilience, and to have the kind of fire to want to go back and compete after all the wars, the Koran wars, the, golly, man, the Daniel Strauss
you
wars, the Vaisal.
Koran, Koran right there?
Yeah.
I like that.
Because I've been reading the Koran. No, I'm teasing. But anyway, Pat Curran, sorry. It's late. We just watched Bellator. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, the guy has been through an element of the grind that someone like AJ McKee, as talented as he is, hasn't even approached yet. Hasn't had the time to even do it. So I think that experience also played a huge factor. But answer the question about AJ McKee. I don't think it's a major setback, but, like, I do wonder how it complicates. We should talk about it, you know, his future with Bellator. What does this change?
I don't know. Because, look, we were under the impression a lot of that is from speculation from Ariel Helwani, who had a good interview with AJ this last week, that maybe AJ was on fight one of the three fight extension added onto his deal from winning the championship. Does that deal change when you lose the championship? Does he still have two more fights?
Yes. Well,
under the old scale,
I'm not sure how the contract extension works anymore. I know that they can exercise for three, but they might have discretion in stopping that if they want. But I don't.
Well, this
know,
is
I don't
the reason why
I don't.
Know that's true. I don't go over and above and say, "Oh, the stock of AJ is hit after this." I don't think it's really that hit. Here's why, Luke. He's freaking great. He fought a guy who is fucking all time great.
Yep.
And it's in play that AJ McKee makes adjustments, wins the trilogy against Pitbull to win back the title, and then beats his brother one division up. That's still in play if he's got two more fights on his Bellator deal. So we have to see the rest of how AJ McKee plays out. But in terms of some of those questions we needed answered, five-round stamina, backbone, adjustments to what Pitbull's showing, again, I thought he clearly lost a close fight, but I don't look at this as major setbacks. I think he's going to grow from this. I liked a lot of what I saw.
Yeah.
Am I crazy? Because Twitter's telling me, BC, you must be loving that Showtime money trying to say that was a fun fight to watch. I thought it was thrilling, elite-level entertainment.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I didn't have any problem watching that fight. I mean, I understand that there were moments of relative inactivity, but you're watching two craftsmen work a game. Like, let it breathe a little
bit. Do you go to one of those old-timey villages in old Williamsburg when, like, the blacksmith is showing you how it used to be, and are you up there, like, critiquing his art? Like, oh, can you make that shit a little bit faster? It's when just, it's ready,
listen,
bitch.
Not every scene of the movie can be the car chase. Not every scene.
Yeah.
Maybe many scenes could be the car chase, but not all of them.
You know what my wife would say if she was watching this right now?
Mm.
Two things. One, she'd be horrified at me wearing this in public. But two, she would say you should put a pillow under that laptop so you don't get ball cancer.
Okay. I will take that ball cancer consideration into account.
Okay.
Moving on back to the fights. Can we move on from our testicles, please? Quite literally. Getting back to the fight itself. You know who is trending on Twitter?
Our HR representative?
No.
Okay.
Volkanovski. The name Volkanovski is trending on Twitter because I think a lot of people saw this performance and think, oh, Volkanovski might whip up on both of them. Yeah, he might. Like, he probably is the best featherweight in the world.
Dude, we don't know that.
Okay, we don't know that. And B, even so, dude, being second to him, even if that was the case, would still make you a very excellent, high-level, elite, special talent.
Look, like, whether you are collecting checks from Showtime or not, and thank you, they're fantastic, to kind of come out of that, which I saw a lot of tweets of, oh, man, this proves that Volkanovski would piss on these two, that these two wouldn't be top 10 in the UFC. Get the fuck out of here, okay, Luke?
Yeah, I don't think he would urinate on that.
What are these, the R. Kelly tapes, Luke? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Luke, the thing is, I had some of my best material during the fight.
See, that material worked when the Chappelle Show was on TV. I don't know if that works anymore.
Yo, we should have had a Calabasas companion filming this whole time, okay? Because I was bringing it, bro, all right?
Dude, you were so fucking annoying. I wanted to kill you, but okay. Do you think Volkanovski beats him? Answer the question.
Beats AJ McKee.
Either of them.
I think we saw that AJ McKee is that dude. He's of the elite status, but you got to make some adjustments. You saw what happened out there. Would Volkanovski tomorrow? Yeah, I'd favor Volkanovski, but I don't know what would happen, Luke. I don't know what's going to happen when AJ McKee goes back to the lab, goes back to the damn body shop, and looks at the tape and goes, "Okay, we thought we won. They didn't think we did. It was close.
Right.
Let's make
some adjustments." It's going to be interesting to see what kind of lesson he takes from this.
Yes,
because it's been nothing but wins up until tonight. So what does a guy who's been accustomed to winning literally the entirety of his career do the first time he takes a loss, especially one that he didn't, in this case, obviously he didn't tap, he didn't get knocked out, so he had to take the judgment of others. That probably,
you know what
is
the great ones do?
Not great.
The great ones like Pitbull do? They learn from it. You and I did the resume review of the great Patricio Pitbull. How many times has he had that close, important loss on the come up or different levels of the come up and adjusted from it? If McKee is the real, which I think he is, I think he still is. Hell yeah, I think he still is. He's going to adjust from this, and I think McKee should be favored entering into the trilogy.
Yo, what if the real curse was that it curses the fighters to lose if they do the resume review the first time they fight, but then you're undefeated in motherfucking rematches?
Yeah, for the rest. Yeah, I like that.
You know what I mean? I take that deal. That's a Faustian deal, but, well, maybe it's not. But anyway. All right. So,
how soon on the trilogy?
Well, I got the list of contenders. So
pay-per-view,
we've got,
or no pay-per-view?
We've got Patricio and AJ as 1 and 2, basically. Then you have Adam Boric, who won just recently in his last fight.
See, that's an interesting thing because,
well, let me finish. Mads Burnell and then Aaron Pico. So we'll get to Aaron Pico a little bit later. But this is a weird conversation about who you give a title shot to, because Boric would seem like the natural contender, but I don't know that it's going to beat the market demand for a third one.
I mean, could you do Boric against the champion, Pitbull, and Pico against McKee? You wouldn't do Pico McKee in a non-title situation, but imagine if you did that. Imagine you did that doubleheader.
For folks who may not know, they used to train together. I don't know if there's any bitter or bad blood. I don't know if that's the case, but it would certainly create for an interesting dynamic.
Either way, great fights to come, but if you're Bellator, Luke, you gotta run this back. You know what? Fight forever, you know?
No, you don't.
Just keep fighting. Just keep fighting each other. We'll do it on CBS one time. We'll do it on pay-per-view. We've done the Lifetime channel.
All right.
Right after the movie's about bulimia. Did you grow up having to watch that shit like I did?
Yeah, bro. I grew up at the same time of with the same fucking bullshit you did in schools.
Yeah.
I saw the Ben Affleck anti-steroid shit. I knew that was
bullshit
when I saw
it. Did you see that Hallmark movie where Fred Savage put his hands on DJ from Full House? Yo, in my town, people were like celebrating that shit. I'm like, it is domestic violence. But they're like, no, that's fucking awesome, you know? Because it was like two childhood stars from our time, you know?
I don't know
they
were
what like, Savage, I hated DJ.
Savage town of fucking abuse cheerleaders you're from, but that, yeah. No, I did not see that.
Hard Scrabble, that's how I came up, Luke.
I think just trashy is really a better way to put it. You turn it into like working class tough. I think you're just trash.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just basura.
Says the guy who got caught vaping on camera today during a live broadcast. That was fantastic. Yeah. So look, that's the main event, and it at least lived up, giving us a lot to talk about in some elite level performances. This co-main event, though.
All right, here we go.
Okay, the finals of the Light Heavyweight World Grand Prix. Mm. Only we didn't crown a new champion either way. We didn't give away $1 million, and we don't have a tournament winner. What we do have is another big fight, because you're going to have to run this back after with officially four seconds left in round three. The fight gets stopped due to an accidental headbutt.
Or I think 3 seconds left even.
It ended up being officially four.
Okay.
Corey Anderson dove in just as Vadim Nemkov, the defending champion, on the ground adjusted. It goes down like a spearing headbutt, massive cut. They bring in the doctor and they stop the fight. Now you're getting a lot of people going, man, if only the referee had presence of mind to know the situation. I think this goes back to that famous Julio Cesar Chavez versus Meldrick Taylor boxing fight with Richard Steele, the referee, where Meldrick Taylor gets dropped in round 12 and there's 3 seconds to go, but Richard Steele doesn't like the look in Meldrick's eyes. He stops the fight, and it's this great victory. It doesn't matter the time. It matters what the referee or the doctor sees in that moment. And in that moment with 4 seconds left, and the difference is obviously if it goes 4 seconds more, it goes to the end of the third round. It's officially a fight. Corey Anderson would go to the scorecards, would probably be up 2-1, and would win the title. But look, he would win the title, in my opinion, largely as the result of a headbutt, which came in the midst of a competitive fight.
Fine.
So I'm actually happy at the disappointing result of the no contest. Why? Because this matchup turned out to be a really fun fight with Vadim Nemkov controlling the first round and Anderson making those adjustments in 2 and 3 with his wrestling, with his gas tank. This was headed into the championship rounds. It was going to be a barn burner. I'd rather do it again, let it be its own main event. Scott Coker gets in wrestling what they call a dusty finish. One of these, like, the result pulled out, you know, on the rug in the last minute. But guess what? We get to run it back again. Let that cut heal. We're gonna get business all over again.
All right.
I know it's not preferred. I know that shit. But Bellator's gonna benefit long term from it. True or false?
Long term, maybe. Short term, it definitely is. It might be a net win, but it would be just that—a net win.
Like your choice to team up with me, Kirill.
Yeah, it's a remains to be seen if it's a win. It's a net something one way. There's definitely some trade-offs being made.
Yeah.
All right, but the point I'm trying to make here is. I guess we'll have to see how this, the rematch plays out and whatnot. It's not a disaster. It could have been, but it was. I wouldn't call it that for the reasons you articulated. But I think the thing that I feel, maybe this is the best way to put it, because the rules are obscure and a little bit weird. We'll walk you through them here in a minute. I just feel like the strength of Corey's performance is unjustly. There's a failure to reward it with the result. The result does not speak to what the truth of the fight was, which was Corey Anderson was prepared for this moment, and he looked to be running away with the fight potentially.
Can you hold the phone on running away, though?
Running away is a little strong.
He took control of the fight at the, not midpoint, but, you know.
Yeah, but I want to make this point. Here's why I think running away is, you're right, it's an exaggeration. But I will say this. He controlled Nemkov in the ground in a way that I do not recall Phil Davis doing for longer stretches. That by itself was extremely. I don't know if folks appreciate this because I honestly don't know how many people have watched Nemkov. But dude, trust me when I tell you, people don't do that to him very, very commonly. That was very uncommon. Long minutes, 3 minutes at a time. Unusual.
I was very much anticipating before that cut what the fourth round was going to look like. I even said that out loud to you. I want to see what Nemkov has to adjust. I felt he was going to come out knowing that he needed the big round and would have got it on the feet, because when they did strike on 50-50 even terms, it wasn't 50-50 results. I thought Nemkov took control of that action. Obviously, it was Anderson bringing the fight to the ground that caused that momentum shift, but I didn't think Nemkov was going permanently in the wrong direction. I was waiting to see that adjustment, which is why I really want to see this rematch, because both guys showed out.
There are certainly unsettled questions. I just mean, I didn't know. I was, to be honest, I'm a little surprised Corey Anderson was able to do it as easily as he did. That is very impressive that he could do that. So I was actually kind of taken by surprise. But you're right. Fair point to that. One note I want to make about what the doctor did in stopping it. Different jurisdictions will have different doctors that would very much let that go. And I know you've probably watched fights where you've seen cuts like this and been like, they kind of let this go. Right. But this doctor in California, San Jose, they have a very good commission there. They're going to get very good doctors. And they might get doctors who don't really give a shit what you want as a fight fan. And they're going to stop it based on a medical basis. And that might be disappointing. And I'm not here to tell you you have to like it. But it seemed to me that this doctor was making one decision and one decision only. Is this whatever medically troubling thing he saw there or not? It was. He called
it.
So
you would have been fine with the fight continuing?
No.
And give the corner man a chance to do his magic?
I'll say this. I have seen fights where shit like that has gone on. Good or bad, I don't know, but
I mean, I could see Russia from my house through that cut. That's how deep it looked, okay? That's a deep Sarah Palin cut right there, right? I know you're a former Washington, D.C. speechwriter, so you can appreciate that bullshit comedy, right?
I can tell you about the Nayland Palin movie.
Yeah. Oh, wow. See, this is the moment we went too far. I thought it was earlier. It's right now, though. Yeah. Oh, boy. You know?
That's a famous movie. It's a very good movie.
I mean, she did all of Dallas, really? I mean, we're here to find that out, right? I mean, come on. It's Arlington, Texas, live. Hey, tomorrow night. Errol Spence Jr.
Hold on.
The other guy for pay-per-view gold. I cannot wait, Luke.
All right, let's get back to the co-main event here. Scoring round one for Nemkov, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Round one for,
on the feet, very technical but heavy, Luke.
Yeah, I thought he did the overall better work. Round.
We did ask the female members of our staff. I don't know if this is an HR violation. If they felt Nemkov was a striking male.
No, sorry. When you say we, what you actually mean is only you.
The answer were resounding yes.
I did not also take part in this informal poll of yours. In any event, round two, clear round for Corey Anderson. Round three, a clear round for Corey Anderson. But to your point as well, Nemkov showing some life at the end of the third to make you think, had the fight continued, whether or not it should have or not, that potentially something another turn of the screw was possible.
Was this tournament cursed, Luke? Because it was supposed to be Rumble and Romero. We never saw it.
This is why it's so funny now. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this because I remember for so long when Bjorn Rebney really wanted tournaments done. And again, he did them a little bit differently. And I think a lot of those guys got ground to a pulp in the way that he did it. But there was a lot of pushback on the tournament model. And for one of the reasons was for what unfolded here, which was even when the promoter puts their best foot forward, and there was certainly some successes from this, they're difficult to do. They're difficult to do. There's so much injury. There's so much instability in fight promotion that they're just inherently
difficult
to do.
Okay, you didn't get the final
result
you wanted.
No, it's not cursed, but they're difficult to execute cleanly. They just are. It doesn't matter who puts them on.
Do you remember the old Grand Prix had 50 Cent coming out with that large champagne bottle? Why did that gimmick stop? To present the $1 million check?
Why does any gimmick stop? Sometimes gimmicks just stop.
We'll keep winning
like
as many
gimmick,
awards
this gimmick
as we
will
can
fucking stop. I guarantee you that.
So look, we're still going to get that answer in the end of who's the best light heavyweight in Bellator, which also might be who's the best
is
light heavyweight.
Is Corey Anderson going to get his flowers if he goes in there and beats Nemkov in the rematch?
Hell yeah, he will.
Do people properly respect what that win
oh,
would
no.
signify?
Look, there can be a gap in this fan base between, as you always say, the MMA fans that only watch UFC and every other
An
organization
actual MMA
is second rate to them.
If you only watch UFC, you are only a UFC fan. That's
if
just
you're
how,
Corey Anderson, you come to Bellator on your own terms, getting out of your UFC deal with despite the knockout loss on the way out, a winning record during that stretch, and you come into a tournament that has Vadim Nemkov, Ryan Bader, Phil Davis, forget Rumble and Romero, right? Like, and Machida, you come out of that as the champion and $1 million richer, you better get your flowers, bro. I mean, I get if you don't subscribe to he might be the best 205er in the world. If you don't care about that debate, that's fine, okay? But give him his flowers for making the right career moves, for improving, for finding out how great he can be. This, if he can do it when they rematch this again, if he can beat Nemkov right now, look at who Nemkov's beat and look at how he has done it, Luke.
Yeah, I got to tell you, if he can go in there and do that again, it always seems like in modern MMA now, you have to do everything. Anything big in MMA that really matters and is really difficult, you got to do twice.
That's why Schaub
got to do it
his
twice.
Second stand-up special.
Okay. I mean,
Poppy Gringo is in the house, bro.
What? Okay.
I mean, you know,
I try to play ball. You know I do. I try to be. But come on. I mean, there are reasons. This ain't my being unreasonable. I mean, we're talking about fights here. Oh, God. All right. You know, I love you, but sometimes I want to hit you in the head with a tire iron.
Do you want to talk about that Timothy Johnson slop fest we watched with Linton Vassell?
We'll get to that here in just a minute. Any other final thoughts on how Nemkov, he looked a little bit.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Like I said, there was panic on his face.
There was going to be pressure on him in the championship round.
He was feeling it.
And changed the momentum of this fight. But I think that's in him. He has the ability to grind if he needs to and make the adjustments. And look, you know, he could have easily come out in that fourth round and changed that. And suddenly you can have a 2-2 fight going into the fifth. So we'll see. They'll do it again a second time. I don't discount him at all. I don't take away from him. Sometimes these no contests are what they are, sort of a, you know, a detour, a bump, a speed bump on the way, all right?
Also, the last thing I'd say is I don't have any real criticisms of Corey's performance, but on the ground, the way he was throwing grounded pound, like, I don't think that headbutt, you know, it was obviously accidental, but, like, if your head is flailing in the way that his was, those are going to happen a little bit more commonly. So something to think about there. Like, I don't think that was just completely like, oh, my God, how did this happen? That's kind of how that happens. All right. Aaron Pico at a 150-pound catchweight defeats Adley Edwards, who came in on extraordinarily short notice, less than 2 weeks.
Hella punishment.
Okay, dude, that third round did not need to happen. After the second round, here's my view. Let me see if you agree. Yeah. And I know you probably agree in boxing, but let's see if you agree in MMA. If a guy is coming in on short notice and is durable, but you can clearly tell is just it's going from he's being beaten up to now it's getting abusive. If they're coming in on short notice, I believe in throwing the referee intervening or the corner intervening much earlier.
Hell yeah.
By virtue of how already their chances of winning are poor. If you're taking a beating, dude, do not take a set. Here's my thing. Take a savage beating when it's a title fight. If that's what it requires, then that's what it requires. Do not take a savage beating on a fight you're filling in on short notice. That makes no sense, especially kinda when like you're not competitive in it.
Kind of like the Chris Moutinho fight against Sugar Sean.
It did not need to go as long as it did.
He proved how tough he is. He'll get another fight.
Correct.
We don't need that. For some reason, actually I know the reason why boxing has seemingly made a change in the last 10, 15 years in what you're saying, being more merciful in those moments. Maybe because, look, the way boxing is set up, you get deaths in the ring. You get some really sad situations. You see adjustments to that. I think MMA a little bit too much of hero culture still. A little too much.
Yeah, there is.
A little too much. But look.
What can you say about Aaron Pico?
It was a last-minute replacement. Is he ready for a title shot? Maybe not next, but you can't do this too much more because although there wasn't a big challenge in terms of the threat of strike coming back at him, this is who Aaron Pico is now and should be in terms of the 2.0, leading wrestling first, letting those hands go. His left hook to the body is a thing of beauty. It's a vicious shot. But he can just grind you out if needed as well, and his ground and pound is sensational. He's showing you, Luke, that he's ready for the top. I'm not saying rush him in there against Pitbull or McKee next, but like in the next year, we got to have a plan to get this guy the title shot. And Luke, when he gets to that point, win or lose, the fact that he got to that point after the disaster that was his first five or six pro fights, I'm going to tell you. You know, we see it in the NFL. We see a lot of those quarterback busts that get picked like third over, like Jamarcus Russell,
anybody who's
Todd
Marinovich, come through DC, anybody.
You know, it's happened to Akili Smith. You know, a lot of these Ryan Leaf, all the DC quarterbacks, with the exception of Jason Campbell, who played his heart out, but the fans didn't appreciate him.
Kirk Cousins had better numbers than Campbell. If you can believe that in D.C.
How do you like that?
I don't. I think that they're both awful.
I don't know what.
Well,
what,
I just can't.
I don't know what my original point. Oh, my original point was, dude, like, we got to give him his flowers, Aaron Pico, at this comeback. I know he's still in the midst of it, but dude, he's doing the right things. He's saying the right things. And like Errol Spence, who bought a farm after the accident because he needed to structure himself. He knew the therapeutic value of horses. Aaron Pico moving to New Mexico and finding that horse Rocco, you know that horse that I'm talking about?
The one that had the fire hose underneath
it? Yeah, that's changed him. It could change a man.
This is the stupidest show. I cannot believe we get a paycheck.
With that
how
being
dumb
said,
this
is he title
is.
Ready now? Is
Fuck
title,
my life.
Is
what?
Is he title ready now?
Okay, I'll say this. You got to give Aaron Pico a ton of credit. You also, I want to make sure we give credit to his coaching staff. I know Brandon Gibson chief among them, but there's been many others as well. You want to talk about taking a guy who was maybe on the precipice of being ruined. I don't know if it's that bad, but he was in bad shape by the time they had to work with him. And man, I was talking to Danny Segura about this. Man, he made the most of a rebound. Wow. Yeah. That is how you build back. Now, you know, does that mean he's the perfect fighter? No one ever will be. There were things I saw tonight. Kind of when he begins to chase offense past the black line towards the fence line, there's still some lack of defense that may eat him up eventually. But overall, this performance was razor sharp. They built this guy back brick by brick. Clearly, he has begun to put it all together. And that is not an automatic or easy thing to do, and they executed it. So credit to Aaron Pico, obviously,
and they're still
and the whole
building
team.
It physically and mentally. And I say that because the post-fight interview, after beating late replacement guy tougher than he should have been, Pico's still talking about all those bad things people said about him. So he's still using that as motivation. Yeah. He's still trying to prove people wrong that he is maybe not the full incarnation of what we thought he was, the biggest MMA, you know, the most hyped MMA prospect in history. But he still may be able to climb that mountain and become a world champion. I don't know about doing boxing and MMA at the same time, which sometimes he says
no,
is his
that
goal,
was kind of crazy at the time, and obviously in retrospect was almost silly. But I will say, when he was at the end of like the string of getting stoppage, the knockouts and everything else, I did not know if a comeback was possible. Like it was at that point where I was like, yes, it is possible, but it is also 50-50. That this turns around, and they turned it around, man. The poise he shows in all the dimensions, and then the savagery. This is the thing that stood out to me. Yes, he was fighting a guy on short notice. You cannot go. This does not tell us exactly his upper bound limits. But dude, you know what he fought with tonight? Just unmistakable confidence, unmistakable belief in his offense. No doubt about it. He knew he could execute it, and he did. And that, I think that's why he was opening up with a lot of the body attacks. Which, to your point, dude, he hits hard, and that guy stood there, but he kept delivering them. It's great performance.
And I mentioned the move to New Mexico thing because, Luke, I think he's rebuilt himself on his own terms. When the first version of him was very controlled by his dad, who was his manager, his dad was one that pushed him to go a division above for his pro debut at Bellator MSG, and he got submitted in seconds against Ian Freeman. And it was, I think, you know, he got out of that shadow a bit. I mean, look at how Marvin Gaye's dad ruined his career.
You're like an episode of Family Guy, only like much more pathetic. Like you just random jokes. Like, hey, remember that one time in high school when like, you know, I want to make a joke at your expense so bad.
You know the first rule of improv?
BC, I'm not your motherfucking improv partner.
Or maybe I am.
Maybe you are.
Maybe this is my version of improv.
Yeah, I guess it is, Luke. So we had a heavyweight slobber knocker to kick off the card. I got to ask you.
Linton Vassell, Timothy Johnson.
Timothy Johnson.
Very, very quickly, 421 of round one, TKO.
Timothy Johnson floors, bloodies. Linton Vassell is all over him going for the finish. And then in like a span of seconds, the tables were turned and he got finished.
Yeah.
Was that an exciting fight, or is that just sloppy heavyweight? I mean, I couldn't figure it out in the moment.
Okay. It's you know, it's like a salad. It's got a little bit of heavyweight slop thrown in.
Yeah.
But I will say this: you gotta give. By the way, two headbutts having an effect in two different fights tonight is kind of crazy. But that aside, dude, that was impressive resilience from Linton Vassell. Timothy Johnson is a big, strong dude, and was raining. Some of the shots looked. Not saying they're intentional, I'd have to go back and look, but they did look to be in suspect areas where you're not necessarily supposed to suffer offense. Anyway, even then, so a lot of them were legal.
Rabbit punches?
I'm just saying, like, when the guys are moving, okay. Things just happen in the course of ground and pound where you get hit in locations where maybe you shouldn't. I'm not ascribing intentionality to it. In any event, he withstood all of that, and he was bleeding and everything, and then turned it in an instant, flattened him out, and got the finish. Dude, that is like... That beating went on for a little while. I was impressed by his mettle.
I was impressed that Vassell turned it around and then called for a title shot afterwards. When you look at the recent run he's had since moving back up to heavyweight.
Yeah, let's go through it.
I mean, it's not as if this Bellator heavyweight division is deep. You know what I'm saying? Fedor's still a relevant name. He knocked out Timothy
Johnson. If you're Lyndon Vassell, winning is winning.
So where is he at in terms of...
Yeah, so he did lose to Valentin Modolsky, who is he interim champ? Or
he was interim champ, and by the way, he called for a rematch with him if he can't get a title shot.
Okay, so then he did lose that one. However, since then, he beat Sergey Karatanov via TKO. He beat Hani Marks via TKO. He beat Tyrell Fortune via split decision.
Which is a good win, because Fortune won again tonight. Yeah. Fortune's coming on for a hope at a title
shot.
Listen,
that's as good as those are good wins in the Bellator heavyweight division. Yeah.
Dude, Tim Johnson packing that lip around the scale on Friday. Thursday. I just love that shit, man. I just love that.
Yeah, I bet
you. Do you think he shut down a public restroom within the last 10 years?
Well, again, let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Yes, yes.
So, having given that very important disclaimer,
yes.
Do I think that he has?
I'm going to go with yeah.
I'm going to go on the yes side of that.
Yes, he has. You know, maybe on that trip to Moscow. By the way, he said that he only fought on even terms with Fedor because he wanted to bring excitement. You know, Fedor's homecoming to Russia.
Yeah.
But he wishes in hindsight he fought boring, you know?
To, like, stick it to the Russians? Or
no, to beat Fedor and not get knocked out. You know, take the
old man
down. I
didn't know this
was
some political stance.
No.
Just to win,
yes, of
course.
There's no politics on this show, Luke, except for the behind-the-scenes jostling between the two of us. Yes, that's about it, yeah.
And that was the card. That was an interesting and kind of insane card where these headbutts have an outsized role. Oh, did we fully explain on the headbutt for the co-main event that had the fight gone...
Yeah, we did.
Four more seconds. It would have been a full three rounds, and then the rules change about how it would score.
But that's why I argued and said it's not the referee's job to, even if they know the situation.
Right. The referee's job is not to do you a solid.
The referee or the ringside doctor's job is if they see something that needs an instant judging on whether it's safe to go on,
right.
You make that call in that moment regardless of right. where you're at. So I right. get what you're saying, man. You know, wouldn't you have liked that to have gone? No, I wouldn't have liked that because then Anderson would have won the damn title on a damn headbutt. So this turned out... I don't say best case scenario, but decent, but good case scenario.
All things considered, it did, definitely not a disaster. Also, let me make one point. I do feel like this is a small thing, but it is an important thing for me. And maybe they'll see this, and so that's why I want to say this. I say this with no malice, but a genuine plea. It is time for Bellator to have an apparatus that is accessible to fans and media that goes over the stats of fights. You have five-round fights.
You're calling for a smart cage?
I'm calling for a motherfucking smart cage that can call you an Uber home.
Yeah.
And maybe order you Amazon and all that shit. In all seriousness, those main and co-main events tonight, those are world-class fighters. There needs to be some kind of stats database and coverage that makes the product more accessible. And it's missing from Bellator. And it is very frustrating because it would very much illuminate a lot of different conversations.
Richard Mann plug right here? He's one of the leaders in this game.
Do you hear the words coming out of your mouth?
What? Because I put man plug in the same sentence?
You put Richard before it,
actually. Yeah. Shout out. Hey, Bellator.
We're 5 years old, by the way.
Showtime, by the way. What a weekend for combat sports, right?
We got a big one tomorrow. Spence and Ugas.
If you know, then you know. It's for the Unified Welterweight World Championship. 3 or 4 world titles. 9 p.m. Eastern Showtime pay-per-view tomorrow night. But the action kicks off 7 p.m. Eastern. On Showtime.
That's right.
On Showtime's YouTube channel.
That's right.
A 2-fight card to kick it off with your boy BC on the call inside that giant-ass AT&T
That's
stadium.
Cool, bro. You're going to call fights ringside in AT&T Stadium.
Dude, I am fired up for that because the first few times I called fights was remotely in a closet. It was COVID, nobody in the arena.
Was that for DAZN?
Yeah, a couple other networks I've called for. And then even with Showtime, I've done small crowds, not 60, 70,000 in the damn dome. So your boy BC is going to be fired up tomorrow.
I think they're expecting 40 or 50.
40 or 50? Okay. Yeah. You're like,
was this a very office moment? Like, you know what I mean? Like real David Brent kind of taking you down a peg?
This is where Luke says, if you haven't seen the British Office.
No, this is where you say it, motherfucker. I didn't say anything.
Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. You know, there we go. You know?
Well, I mean, you know, your selection of film choices is just so utterly...
I'm so deep in neo-noir, dude. Did you ever see Nighthawks with Sly Stallone and Rutger Hauer?
You did recommend that to me, and I've not seen it. Where is that? Where do I get that?
Bro. Probably check the Showtime app and then check some others too.
Yo, look at this crew. They want to get the fuck like, out of here.
Yo, they're, yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, that is it for us. So we will be, we will have a post-fight show tomorrow for Spence versus Ugas. So stick around for that. We'll go
inside AT&T
and
Stadium.
We have been told that we are inside the AT&T Stadium. Now, the question is, are we in the men's room? I don't know.
I once did a CBS Sports HQ hit at Madison Square Garden outside the men's room at a UFC card. And as I'm wrapping up, you know, there's just drunk fan after drunk fan jumping in. It was just a debacle.
Yeah, I've had a few. Remember we had fruit flies at...
Yeah, it was great. At what was that market called? Yeah.
No. It was at, I won't say the place, but...
Right, it was at the Mohegan Sun. Oh. Yeah, and,
just say the place. Yeah. Say the place.
Great place to watch a fight, you know?
Yeah. Oh, listen, if you're a fruit fly, a lot of singles there. A lot of singles.
it's like
ready to mingle.
It's like
singles
fruit fly grinder. Yeah.
They're ready to mingle. Like, all right.
Yo, do you believe in Spanish fly or is this too? This is like,
you're such a fucking idiot. Yeah,
well, it was a good plug for the Bill Cosby.
Imagining cavemen riding dinosaurs, drinking fucking Red Bulls. You are the worst human on earth. All right. Yeah. For Brian Campbell, I'm Luke Thomas.
You know, this sound guy that we got, the local guy, fantastic. He's fantastic.
Many of the locals are
very
friendly.
Can you put him on camera?
No. You didn't consult. Don't play games like that. All right, we got to get out of here. Brian Campbell, Luke Thomas. We'll see you guys tomorrow night for Spence Ugas. Enjoy the fights.